All the same, it might be worth my saying some things about the myth of biological salvation and kind of going back to that idea and the problem with salvation mythologies for human beings. And then I thought the earlier part of today I would talk about what it means to be human, what it means to live in what I call the human realm, which is the actual condition of being human, rather than being persuaded that one is an animal or being motivated like an animal, or that one is a god and being motivated like a god. There are some real challenges, as I mentioned last night, to actually staying on the human path that many of us very quickly revert to some other path, even though we have the opportunity to live in a specifically human way with a knowledge of our limitations and a recognition of our interdependence. I think that this morning I'll spend time talking about that and talking about the development of the self from a Jungian perspective and a Jungian and also a Buddhist perspective, the way that I look at the development of the self and understand it, that the self is not a thing. It is not something that is connected to your body, but rather it is a function that is inherent in being human, and each of us develops that function in the same way that we develop various physical functions, or we suffer from not having developed it, but that we have a lot of confusion then. Once we've developed it, we have a confusion about what it is and tend to want to protect it in a way that is unnecessary and separates us from other beings and the world. So I'm going to talk about being human, the self and suffering, and a little bit about compassion. And then this afternoon I'll talk about love when we come back from lunch, and kind of put the issue of being human in the context of what it means to be in relationship, particularly a love relationship, both the kind of love relationship that one has in a romance and intimacy of a marriage or a lifetime partnership, the kind of love one has for children or parents, and the kind of love that one has in psychotherapy, that I think is the curative aspect of the work that we do in doing psychotherapy with people in this intensive way of psychodynamic therapy over time. So those are the things that I intend to do. This morning I could either talk quite a bit more about the myth of biological salvation and how it impinges on us, or I could shrink that quite a bit and just kind of give a brief summary of it. I right now have this tendency to want to talk about it because it fires me up, but I also think that it's not quite on the program today. It's relevant, but it's not totally relevant. So I'd like to know a little bit from you, how you people feel about that. I know some people were also very fired up about it last night, and then other people, obviously have other interests. It's a contemporary issue. So anybody that wants to give me any feedback about that? Stick to the program, okay. Anybody else?
Agree,
okay. Then let me just summarize briefly, and I think what I will do to do that is to actually read a little bit that goes a bit over what I talked about last night and just kind of summarizes it. So just bear with me for a couple of minutes and then I'll go back to just talking. We've been persuaded in the last decade to believe that we can sum up human life as a biological process and then master our fate through biology. This myth of biological salvation, as I call it, has invaded every corner of ordinary life and robbed us of the wisdom to encounter life's obstacles skillfully. The wisdom of amor fati, which I talked about last night, literally to love our fate, liberates us to flow with the ups and downs, with our joys and fears, our pleasures and pains. No matter our age or condition, life presents us with challenges and limits. In response, we must change our minds, our desires, our habits, and our ideals on an ongoing basis. This issue of being challenged by change is an ongoing, everyday sort of thing. Just like this morning, when I woke up, I hadn't slept well, and then I went out for a little run, then I didn't feel very good, and then I, you know, it was like at every step of my morning, things did not go my way. And so I was challenged to change what I had in mind or what I wanted to do. And I did some of that, and I also was a little inflexible, and I was suffering from that. So in response to the way that we're challenged on an ongoing basis, we're challenged to change and to kind of respond to the limitations of reality. When we can do this reliably, we reach a contentment and a satisfaction in our lives that we can possess even in the most difficult circumstances. By contrast, the myth of biological salvation invites us to describe ourselves in vague biological terms that are implied that we are determined by forces that are beyond our subjective influence. To keep ourselves as safe as possible, we have to control these forces through biological interventions that we cannot understand, but in which we must have faith. We then think about our happiness in terms of serotonin levels, understand love as an attachment bond, are convinced that death is a flat line on the EKG, explain our children's intelligence in terms of brain states, want guarantees that our physical and mental suffering can be medicated away, believe that human altruism comes from a drive to leave the greatest number of offspring. These are just just a handful of the beliefs that have influenced us in this recent period of time towards this belief, this sense that we can be biologically sort of saved from ourselves. Even for people who don't give much serious thought to why they are unhappy or why people are or are not suffering, there's been an important change in the zeitgeist. We eschew self-knowledge now in favor of believing that science, especially biology, should give us what we want in order to overcome most, perhaps all, of our personal difficulties.